As a result of this pressure, I'm happy to report that the government of Uzbekistan granted a reprieve to thousands of its own children under the age of 14 from having to participate as forced laborers in the cotton harvest last fall. Thousands of children were saved from the debilitating work of the cotton harvest by hand in hazardous, often a toxic working environment. Thousands of young children were saved from the fate of Amirbek Rakhmatov, a six-year-old first-year schoolboy from Vobkent district of Bukhara who died while out picking cotton with his mother last year. Unfortunately, the bad news still dwarfs the good news. Despite the presence of ILO monitors, the Uzbek government continued its forced labor system for cotton production. It continued to operate a state order system or command economy for cotton production that is underpinned by an extensive system of state-sponsored forced labor. Use of coercion begins with farmers and then increasingly over the course of the year extends to all of its citizens, and the system is administered by government officials nationwide. The government establishes a quota and then compels farmers to meet that quota and compels farmers to sell their cotton to the government. The government earns over $1 billion annually from this forced labor system. Farmers who fail to meet the government-established quota for cotton production continue to face severe consequences, loss of land, prosecution on criminal charges, and physical punishment included. During the harvest, farmers regularly report being scolded, humiliated, and beaten at their regular meetings held in their local communities, in which they are supposed to report on their progress in fulfilling their cotton quota. To harvest the cotton, the Uzbek government continued to systematically mobilize children aged 16 and 17 throughout the country, and also 15-year-olds in many regions. They also, in different regions, depending on the local governor, mobilized the younger children as well, the children under 14 years old. Forced labor was organized through the state education system, and the threat was expulsion from school. The forced mobilization of the harvest began in September and continued through November. In addition to children, the government systematically forced adult farmers, public sector workers, private sector workers, unemployed citizens, and those in receipt of public welfare benefits to labor. Authorities forced pensioners, mothers receiving social benefits, and other citizens to pick cotton under the threat of losing those benefits on which they depend. Under pressure from authorities in higher positions, administrators at public institutions and private business owners forced their workers to pick cotton under the threat of dismissal from their jobs. University administrators forced their students under threat of expulsion. Teachers and public sector professionals participated in the cotton harvest only because if they didn't, they would lose their public sector jobs. Despite the undeniable evidence of forced labor, the government of Uzbekistan continues to publicly deny that it operates a forced labor system for cotton production. They were very clear to the ILO that we do not operate forced labor system. In fact, to perpetuate this myth, the government of Uzbekistan tried to impose on the ILO certain conditions for their monitoring that made the truly independent monitoring impossible. For example, the monitors were government officials from Uzbekistan who were accompanying the ILO. Despite these efforts to prevent independent monitoring, though, the ILO was still able to corroborate the civil society reports of the serious and continued use of forced labor by the government of Uzbekistan. And the ILO findings were then corroborated again by the World Bank Inspection Panel, who had sent a monitoring team to look into the forced labor possibly touching their projects, and their findings were very clear that their projects, when investing in agriculture in Uzbekistan, could benefit the forced labor system of cotton production. While we're confident that the ILO will continue to do its duty to use whatever diplomatic path it can find to end this forced labor problem, and we hope that they will continue to impress upon each and every government official that forced labor is a crime in violation of international law, we see no evidence that the government of Uzbekistan is committed to ending its highly profitable forced labor system and holding those who have perpetuated these mass crimes accountable under the law. We must all remember, forced labor is a crime. Those investing in the cotton system, like Daewoo International Corporation from Korea, or Indorama Corporation from Singapore, or even those who want to sell tractors and irrigation equipment to the government, made possible possibly by contracts funded by banks, the World Bank, possibly the Asian Development Bank, if they are offered, their potential for liability is very clear. Section 18 U.S. Code 1589 prohibits any person from knowingly benefiting from forced labor. Those who do face up to life in prison. And then the Tariff Act of 1930 prohibits cotton products from being sold in the United States that are made with forced labor. And this is what happened to Indorama Corporation last October when they could not import their Uzbek cotton product into the United States. For companies who are investing outside the cotton sector, the risks are just as great that they will get pulled into the forced labor system as well. This is what happened to General Motors, whose employees were compelled to pick cotton during the harvest for the third consecutive year, and the people who compelled them, the Federation of Trade Unions of Uzbekistan, which is not an independent trade union, is an agency of the government, but also one of the ILO social partners, and they were working with managers from the General Motors plant in Andijan. To end my testimony, I just want to say very clearly that based on the evidence by human rights monitors, reports from the ILO and World Bank, that the government of Uzbekistan continued to impose a forced labor system for cotton production while at the same time denying its existence. And in recognition of the sacrifices made by human rights defenders who risked their lives in fighting against the government's crimes, we adamantly urge the United States Department of State to maintain Uzbekistan on Tier 3 and to utilize all the tools at its disposal to bring an end to forced labor in Uzbekistan. And very specifically, we also call on the U.S. government to exercise the sanctions made available under the JTIP law. Utilize your voice and vote at the World Bank, at the Asian Development Bank, and prevent any investment that's going to benefit the forced labor system. We don't tolerate it for our own companies. We should not tolerate it for the multilateral institutions either. Investing in forced labor is investing in a crime, and it cannot happen. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Campbell, thank you very much for your clarity and for your insights. You know, last year, Ambassador Legon spoke about America's pathetic embrace of slavery, which was in significant part about cotton. So here we have it occurring in Uzbekistan, and I think your words couldn't have been more clear.